Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we have another week that we're starting off very similar to last week in the sense of vaccine news, this time coming out of Moderna and actually even better results than Pfizer's results that started off last week. Market reactions on the back of it, though, are what I want to focus on here. Starting with U.S. equity markets, kind of similar to what we saw last Monday, but a little bit more muted in terms of moves. We're seeing the Dow and the S&P lead the U.S. equity markets higher, while the NASDAQ is still generally lagging behind them. Ed, is this just a longer-term trend that we need to jump on now, where it's some of these lagging sectors playing catch-up, all thanks to the hopes that the economy and this vaccine is going to get us back to some sort of normal?
Yes, I think you have to give credit to these moves. It's all about the vaccine right now. I think everyone is rejoicing that Pfizer had very strong results. You know, before we had the Pfizer results, you know, all the health experts were hoping to see a vaccine that was 75% effective against preventing infection. And Pfizer, you know, 90% was amazing. But there were some concerns. It would require special refrigeration and you know, to get it massively distributed, it was going to obviously be a little bit harder. Moderna, this is by far, you know, winning the COVID vaccine race, it seems. 94.5, so over 94.5 effective. And I think what you're seeing is that the vaccine could be stored in regular refrigerators for up to 30 days. And that is, you know, almost just as important as the effective rate. So I think you're having markets, they're forward looking. I think, you know, after the Pfizer announcement, there was strong optimism that, okay, we could see a return to pre-pandemic life possibly by next Thanksgiving. So in just over 12 months, this, you know, Moderna news really just kind of, makes everyone become even more optimistic. You have two vaccines that are well over 90% that are going to provide strong optimism that you're going to have widespread availability for the public, possibly by the April, May months, with the vulnerable getting vaccines possibly by January. So this is really going to change the reopening forecast for everyone. And I think what you're going to see is, you know, the markets now, they initially, you know, just kind of spiked higher. But we have to, you know, acknowledge that in the very short term right now, we're seeing the restrictions mount, you know, Washington, Michigan, there's all these concerns right now with the current virus spread. You know, these vaccines are not going to be able to do anything with the current situation. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of people just become a little bit more cautious here, because we're still in the middle of the fight with COVID, and ICU capacity is still a very big concern. I think you're having some signs of optimism that the test positivity rate, while it's increasing, that it might be showing signs that it could be peaking. So I think there's going to be close focus right now with the spread, and if we see that you know, the U.S. is still averaging over 100,000 new cases a day, you know, that this, you know, with healthcare capacity is going to, you know, trigger lockdowns wherever necessary. So I think that is kind of why you're seeing a little bit of a muted reaction. But what does this mean for the markets? I think you're going to continue to see, we're going to have to deal with this rotational type of market, you know, not necessarily out of big tech, but, you know, possibly into those beaten up sectors. And in the end, though, everyone knows that if we're going to have a stock market that has long lasting legs here to really, you know, climb higher, you know, tech is going to have to be a big part of that. So I think you're going to continue to see investors are going to be more careful with their positions as far as, you know, maybe they're not necessarily as aggressive with the Pelotons and Zings, but they're still maybe more optimistic on the Apples and Googles and Amazon. So it's going to be a difficult trade as far as trying to, you know, pick the best of breed. And there's lots of other concerns for 2021 with the regulatory headaches for some of these bigger mega cap tech stocks. So I think right now, though, you're seeing there's a lot of optimism for next year, and you're probably going to continue to see that rotation trade. That's why the Russell hit record highs, and I think you're probably going to see investors, they're still going to take comfort with U.S. equities. And when you look abroad, everything is looking pretty rosy right now. I mean, you have to be fairly optimistic with the whole situation in Asia. I think, you know, many people were very happy to see that, you know, after almost a decade of negotiations, that, you know, some of the larger economies were able to kind of wrap up the largest trade deal, which includes China, Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand. And this is very positive for globalization, and it's really kind of spearheading more risk appetite abroad. So I think you have a growing positive story here in the U.S. Asia is looking very, very attractive right now because they have the virus mostly under control, and they also are showing some signs of improved trade, and that's very positive for the whole risk picture.
Okay, so across the board, we are seeing a lot of optimism come into these markets, and I think what's important is investors putting more money to play for these markets. But a lot to cover there. Right now, let's focus on the vaccine news, because that is what's driving markets. With the U.S. election, for the most part, behind us, I know people will continue to talk about it, but markets aren't moving on the back of tweets right now. But when it comes to future vaccine news, what is some of the next steps that we need to see from these companies? What are some of the news events that we should be looking out for that will have an impact on markets?
I think the biggest thing right now is we have to remember the two companies involved. So Pfizer, when they first announced what they anticipated as far as availability of their vaccine, they were anticipating over, I believe, 100 million doses by the end of the year. And then they had to slash that in half. Moderna, Moderna is a small company. I mean, their market cap might be now 38 billion or something like that. But this is their first real vaccine that's getting the go ahead. So as far as the ability to mass produce, this is something that's, you know, foreign territory for them. So I think everyone is going to be extremely paying close attention to these incremental updates. I mean, Operation Warp Speed, while yes, you're providing the funds to help expedite the creation and distribution of these vaccines, there's going to be a lot of, people that are going to be concerned that these companies are going to be able to deliver as quickly as everyone is hoping. So I think if we see any setbacks, and there could be anything, whether it's from the vials that the vaccine is distributed in to any other issues that can disrupt production, that is going to be important to pay close attention to. So I think the refrigeration temperatures are also key. We have to remember, we've only had these vaccines tested for just a short period of time. I think, you know, because of the widespread, these current outbreaks, you know, it really helped, you know, us expedite, okay, we can determine, you know, how effective these vaccines are, and that, you know, we're not seeing much of a discrepancies in I guess, some of these initial readings versus the preliminary data. But people are going to be very concerned that there's not a large, you know, time of testing this data out, and we don't know exactly how long it's effective. They're hoping that this vaccine is going to be effective for a year. It's uncertain. So I think you're going to see that there's still a lot we have to discover about it, and in some cases it's we're going to have to wait until we can really get those answers. So all the news right now up front has been pretty positive. I think there's a lot of people anticipating that J&J has a very large trial, which, you know, they're testing a single dose and also a double dose of their vaccines to find out what's most effective. And I think that is also going to be very important, because if they're also in the similar ballpark range, that one might have a little bit more ease of distribution. So people are going to be it's going to be hard to be downbeat as far as the third and fourth quarters. Some people are going to become more optimistic for the second quarter for economic activity. But I think there's still a lot we have to learn about this, these vaccinations. And I think investors, they should feel confident as far as that, you know, a lot of these vaccines are, you know, providing very, very good signs initially. And I think that it's good to be optimistic. And I think now that we have two vaccines that seem highly effective, I think, you know, you're going to see that people are going to feel a lot more comfortable pricing in that return to pre-pandemic behavior a lot sooner.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, the recent news from the vaccine has been positive, but we still need to get through the second wave, and it sure seems like more lockdowns or restrictions are coming, which could cause some short-term volatility. Let's also look at the reaction of the precious metals today compared to last Monday. Last Monday, hugely volatile for the metals, and a big drop that came from gold, about $100 from peak to bottom in one day. Today, though, the gold move is much more muted, and you take into account the moves for the rest of the week last week, and gold took back a lot of what it lost in that one volatile day. What do you think about the lack of a downside reaction today for gold?
Well, I think what we're starting to see is that I think a lot of traders are becoming very pessimistic as far as the U.S. dollar. I think that this vaccine news is providing widespread optimism that global growth is going to come back a lot sooner. It's going to take away from some of that safe haven demand, but it's ultimately going to drive that dollar softer, which is positive for gold. I think, you know, gold might not have as many safe haven flows because of these vaccine news, but I think the softer dollar is going to provide all commodities across the board a big bullish catalyst for the first quarter of next year, and they're probably, you know, finishing out this year. There's just too much optimism. I think that the global economic recovery is going to continue. I think we're seeing good signs from Asia, the Asia Pacific region, and then we're also seeing that the Fed has maintained their dovish stance. The Fed is likely to be the last major central bank to raise rates, and I think you're going to probably see that the dollar will ultimately become a funding currency, and that's going to really, I think, provide the next major catalyst for, I think, the move higher in gold and silver. And also, too, you know, we're entering that holiday season, too. I mean, Diwali is, I know a lot of my friends were still celebrating Diwali, and I think this year was rather special for many. And I think you're going to see gold demand has been improving finally. I think after most of this pandemic, it's really suffered. And I think you're going to see a lot more demand throughout this holiday season, especially as we approach the China Lunar New Year.
Okay, final comments here, Ed, regarding base metals and energy, because both I'm looping in together when it comes to positive moves today because of the fact that, fine, we get more confident about a broad reopening or some sort of back to normal, then base metals should do well and energy should do well, especially oil prices, because oil prices, well, they've been range bound, but still a lot of the negativity has been the whole lack of actually getting out and traveling and even going into the office for a lot of people. What do you think about the overall bullish outlook right now and continued upward trend in base metals and energy?
I think a lot of people are going to become very optimistic with commodities. I think the global economic recovery is been clearly stated here by me. And I think what you're going to see in the U.S. is that regardless of the outcome of the Senate, I think the Republicans are going to still hold it. I think you're going to see there is going to be some infrastructure spending. I think you're going to see that you're going to have a lot more optimism here for just the improved demand on the base metals. I think with the oil side of things, you're you're going to see in the next couple of months, a lot of these shale wells are running dry. And that's going to really provide a little bit of a shortage here in the U.S. And that should really, I think, really kind of help take WTI to that mid-40 range, if not possibly higher. Because we're right now what we're seeing on the oil side, too, is that the OPEC producers have clearly done a good job in showing that they're not messing around this time. They're going to provide a sense of calm as far as not having oversupply concerns return. We've seen some fairly high compliance so far, especially with the month of October. I think there's been some reports. It was 101% last week, and then they said maybe it was closer to 96. Regardless, that's still in the right direction. OPEC is doing their part. They're going to likely delay any hikes in production. I think they're not playing any chances with this oil bound recovery. I think most of these countries need to have oil much higher, as their governments are struggling, and I think you're going to probably see that the overall improving outlook is just going to really just, I think, drive this market higher. And with the U.S., the Biden administration is not going to be able to achieve all their clean energy initiatives. Yes, he'll go the route of executive orders, but it's not going to be what he campaigned on. The Republican controlled Senate is going to derail that. And I think that is why you're going to see a lot of people remain optimistic for U.S. energy, U.S. The oil giants. And while because we're going to probably still see significant oil output from the U.S., I think, though, in the short term, you're going to see those shortages likely provide the catalyst for oil to go higher. And then the latter part of next year is it's all going to be about the air travel demand that's going to bounce back. Cruise ships are going to, be likely having the ability to fill up their boats and offer more travel destinations to the Americans. So I think there's good reason to be optimistic for commodities for 2021. And you're going to probably start to see a lot of people try to price that in now.
Yeah, and pay attention to the whole inflation expectations too, because that's another aspect that could drive commodities broadly higher. Ed, thanks for your time today. A lot to kind of recap in terms of the market moves, but overall, better vaccine news does make investors more confident, more positive to put their money at work, and we're seeing it hit in some of these lagging sectors, and that is important to note right now. Ed, thanks for your time today. I will post a link to the Oanda website where everyone can read over your daily note. Thanks for your time, Ed.
Thank you.